Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday. It's the 26th of July, 2011. A rather muggy day in the old Pueblo, you could say so, I guess. Humidity levels up. Might get a little rain. Chances seem a little slim today, however. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we are delighted to have simulcast partners for this program at KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with archiving all of our previous programs. Also want to tell you about a new collaboration. The Buckmaster Show is also available on the TucsonSentinel.com website. TucsonSentinel.com and the Buckmaster Show teaming up, so you'll be able to hear the Buckmaster Show on TucsonSentinel.com as well. We are live weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. The lineup for today's show, we explore the growing problem of American military men and women who return from an overseas tour of duty, then find themselves homeless. At 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman weighs in on the latest developments, or lack thereof, on the debt ceiling crisis. At the bottom of the hour, a newsmaker interview with Randy Peraz, the man who has been leading the charge in the recall of the Senate President Russell Pierce. Then we'll close out the show with Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. We will be asking Ms. LaWall to share some of her views, some of her thoughts on why the crime rate is dropping in Tucson and most large American cities. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, but we encourage you to join in the discussion at any time with your comments or questions for our guests. You can call the Buckmaster Show 790-2040, 790-2040. If we're outside of the Tucson metro area, use the toll-free number 1-866-725-5467. We can also email your questions to the Buckmaster Show at bill@buckmastershow.com or submit them via the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If there's a guest you would like to hear from on our program, let us hear from you as well. We begin with the issue of homelessness, especially related to our veterans. It's a serious problem across America. The issue is especially timely in light of President Obama's recent announcement of more troops returning from the Middle East in the next few years. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Washington, D.C. is Major Brian Hampton. Major Hampton is the president of the Circle of Friends for American Veterans. Major Hampton, thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Bill, thank you very much for having me on the show, and I know this is a very serious topic, but I want to tell you right off that I had the pleasure of living in Arizona for 7 years, mostly in Phoenix, and I enjoyed my time in Tucson. Every time I hit the city limits, such a beautiful town, for some reason I always was thinking about where I could get my first margarita.
There you go. Well, it is a town that is not only beautiful, as you mentioned, but it's a town that really cares about the military. With our connections to Davis Mountain Air Force Base, we have many retired military here, some very high up, actually, retired generals, one who is a regular contributor to our show, General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, is at least a monthly contributor to the program. So we know about these issues, but one thing that seems to get lost in all of this is this homelessness problem that's coming up. How serious is it across the country for vets?
Well, Bill, thanks for having me on your show. It is a very serious problem. Unfortunately, conservative estimates indicate that any given evening on the streets of this great country of ours, we have about 200,000 men and women who served in American uniform who are there on our streets.
That's unbelievable that there are that many. And why do these people, what are some of the reasons that these people who come back from a tour of duty overseas, why do they find themselves homeless?
Well, they're homeless veterans, the same reason there are other homeless people, and probably, Bill, a couple more reasons. First of all, their skills are not transferable. They come back, they're relatively young. Their unemployment rate is about twice the rate of their peers who haven't served. Being in a war zone, particularly the current war zones, Iraq and Afghanistan, you're always in harm's way every second of every day, no matter where you are, two or three deployments. It really has an effect on you mentally and physically, and sometimes the adjustment is very, very difficult.
Major Hampton, how did you get involved with this Circle of Friends for American Veterans? Tell us a little bit about that organization and your involvement with it.
Sure, thank you. I volunteered to enlist in the Army at the height of the Vietnam War in 68 and served in Vietnam and did active duty for 2.5 years. And then I did 23 years reserve, a lot of it in Phoenix, where I went to meetings every Monday night, and had a very successful business and politics, fundraising, consulting, Bill, for a number of years. But I got really concerned about 20 years ago. I got really steamed, having lived in Washington, that the Congress was not, and the government was not, keeping the promises they made for veterans. So I decided to start an organization that would provide some heat on the politicians, affect public opinions, and help these transitional facilities, the private ones that are doing really the heavy lifting for homeless veterans.
There is a fantastic program that we have here in Arizona. Tell us about that program that's been helping provide food and shelter for homeless vets.
Delighted. It's called Esperanza Homeless Facility. It's right at 3700 South Cali Pollard, if I'm saying that correctly. It's a transitional housing program for homeless veterans and veterans' families. It has beds for 70 otherwise homeless veterans. It has a disciplined format, and the otherwise homeless veterans are working if they're able to. Their success rate is very, very high, and I'm pleased to say we had a rally in support of that facility. We had it there in Tucson in the Eagles Hall way back, October 5th, 2006. So it's a worthy program, and we urge your listeners to support it.
So the government really isn't, bottom line, the government, our government, is not doing enough, and so these NGOs are having to really step it up to help the local veterans with these transition facilities.
You hit it right on the head, and it's not really a surprise to many Americans that the government is not doing
what
the
else
job.
Is new, right?
What else is new? What a great country, but the government needs a lot of help. I mean, the VA has a budget of over $130 billion, and only 0.1% goes for homeless veterans. They fund about 12,000 beds, and beyond that, we found we've done these rallies all around the country. We've had one in Phoenix too. We've had them all around the country, and we got a lot of feedback, Bill, from these private transitional facilities saying that for homeless veterans, the VA is more of a problem than a solution. And then we also found that they're wasting really tens of billions of dollars because they have a procurement system where they don't negotiate contracts. They're not collecting fees from insurance companies. So the good news is programs like Esperanza are helping positively for those veterans who are motivated to get back into society.
Major Brian Hampton is our guest, our leadoff guest on today's edition of the Buckmaster Show. He's president of an organization called the Circle of Friends for American Veterans. If you would like to join in, perhaps you're a veteran listening to the Buckmaster Show and you have found that the services for veterans are lacking in some way, you can let us know, 790-2040, 790-2040. Has your mission been improving? Have you been able to fund what you're trying to do, or is that I would assume that's always a big issue.
It's continuing. I wish we'd be able to be put out of business and there wouldn't be any homeless veterans on the street. That's not going to be the case. And your lead-in, you talked about how we're going to have all these returning veterans. So the the problem is only going to be exacerbated. Probably about 10,000 men and women who served in Afghanistan are on our streets. So we're encouraging all your listeners to do everything they can for veterans. One thing they could do if they're in a position, HR office or retail company or some sort of a firm, is to consider hiring veterans. Give them a little bit of extra consideration because they're dedicated, they're disciplined. You'll get your money's worth, and they will show up for work on time.
I'm telling you that some great organizations here in Tucson, one of them is the Vietnam Veterans group that I personally, my wife and I, support that group where they do these clothing drives. And you'd be surprised, maybe you wouldn't be surprised, Major Hampton, how much of the clothes pile up around the house, stuff we don't use, that really can help be a veteran in transition, perhaps for a job interview or whatever, if they need some nice clothes to look good for a job interview.
It's a good thing to do. It's good karma. And if you permit me, the website for Esperanza there is EEE, like Echo, veterans.org. And they can use all the help they can get, Bill, in terms of financial resources, volunteers, and as you say, contributions of clothing and food as well.
You know, you were mentioning that squandering of about $10 billion that could be going to veterans because of the incompetence, as you're saying, of the National Veterans Procurement Division. Is there any progress in that area, or is that just something we're all going to have to live with?
You know, it's systematic of the problem that we have throughout government here in Washington, that there's no accountability. It's a very convoluted situation, but the VAIG found out that there was squandering of the money, and a subcommittee in Congress, he was defeated. Harry Mitchell was the head of a subcommittee there in Arizona, one of the champions for veterans, asked the GAO to do a study. They found out the tens of billions of dollars were being wasted. They sent the study over to the VA, Bill. The VA, they spent, you know, they went to, the GAO went to 16 sites and interviewed dozens of people, did a great job, said precisely how it could be fixed. Then the subcommittee sent the report to the VA. The VA sent back a two-page report agreeing to everything, doing nothing, went back to the Congress, and then it disappeared into the ozone. So they're just not the will in the Congress or perhaps the White House to enforce the VA or a lot of these other government organizations, government branches, to do what they should be doing.
The Esperanza Homeless Facility, the transitional facility for veterans here in Tucson, how is that being funded, Major Hampton?
Well, it's mostly being funded by support from private individuals. They're getting, I believe, some modest support from the VA. If they're currently getting any support, it's only $30 per day per bed. And their expenses per veteran, per bed, and all the other services they offer doesn't nearly cover that. So they have to live by their wits, and contributions would be helpful. I'll tell you the other thing that would be really helpful, if any of your listeners...
Yes, sir.
Are well-placed in the community, are people of means and have 3 or 4 hours to offer a month. If they could help with the financial development, that would be a wonderful boon for this facility and for homeless veterans, for those who served.
Thank you so much, Major Hampton. Thank you for your service to this country. Thank you for heading up the Circle of Friends for American Veterans. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
12:18 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about the ongoing issue of this debt ceiling. What is going on? Is there a crisis that is going to be resolved anytime soon? Shelley Fishman's next.
Since Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day. The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankerverde, at the southwest corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankerverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
He's also a great guy and incredibly knowledgeable in the financial arena. Shelley Fishman joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Shelley, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Pretty good. The president going on national TV last night to basically say we're at a stalemate. Are the markets, Shelley, have they already factored in that there's going to be a deal, or how do you see it?
I think until last Friday, the markets had factored it in and believed that there was going to be a deal. And you saw some optimism both in the world markets and in the U.S. markets. I think after the press conference on Friday and after last night's dueling statements on the television, I think the markets are less confident. I think the Asian market began to reflect some optimism today, and but that was after losses the day before. And U.S. markets, of course, have been down now 2 days in a row. I think the confusion is just more than people can bear, and comes, you know, quite frankly, from us somehow mixing the idea of what we've already spent and what we're going to spend and having an argument about both at the same time.
And there's so much confusion. People really are still very confused, Shelley.
Right. So what we have to do is we have to get past this debt ceiling issue and then have an active and probably very loud and contentious discussion about what money we're going to spend over the next 10 years. But we have to do something about the debt ceiling. The folks who have been saying that it is calamitous to allow the world markets to speculate on whether or not the full faith and credit of the U.S. is going to be backed, they're not lying about this. It will affect every single American who uses, spends, or relies on money to live.
What kind of influence, Shelley Fishman, does the so-called pop culture financial press? I mean, you've got the Wall Street Journal has an insert in the Star here locally. Then there, of course, the Money magazines. What influence is that having?
Well, that's an interesting question, Bill. The pop culture press, which is always going to be delayed by several days, is not directly influencing, I think, the emotions and uncertainties around this particular issue. It is, however, playing into the general uncertainties and fears in the marketplace about where our economy is and what is going to happen with things like inflation. We've seen for the last year the general assumption in the pop culture press that all of the stimulus was going to create inflation. Well, we've all backed off on that now. We don't think there's going to be inflation for several years. So that the pop culture press can only, you know, can only put out there what's in the moment and what they think people will understand. So it tends to be simplistic. One of the things I look at every Sunday, of course, in the Star is the Wall Street Journal inserts, and those tend to be pretty good articles. There are two additional magazines that I'd like to mention because I think they're both understandable and have morphed over the past year or so into being very useful magazines. One is Money Magazine, which I think gives some very good general insight, understandable insight, for people to rely on in terms of creating the right questions in their minds about what they should be doing in their retirement, to prepare for retirement, to prepare for investment, so that when you come to see an advisor or a planner, you come armed with some good questions and some general knowledge. The other is the new version of Business Week, which is now called Bloomberg Business Week. And yes, that's the Bloomberg who is the mayor of New York, but also his name is synonymous with financial information. And this magazine is about as dense a magazine as I have ever seen. It takes a long time to get through it, but there every week is so much information in there for potential investors or people who really do want to get something other than the cable TV perspectives. This is very well thought out and largely non-politically motivated information. So to the extent that the pop culture press can help the individual investor become more educated and more confident that they know how to ask questions, I think it's very useful, and I certainly recommend it.
Shelley Fishman, where can our listeners get a hold of you? How can they get a hold of you?
Best way is just call me at 795-7950, or on the web, of course, at shelleyfishman.com, and that's the easiest way to spell it, S-H-E-L-L-Y-F-I-S-H-M-A-N.
And the Pyramid Credit Union is very available in town.
Oh, absolutely. We've got four branches, one kind of in each corner of town and one in the middle, and very friendly, great places to do business, and that's where my offices are.
Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. It's always good joining us on Tuesday on the Buckmaster Show at about 20 minutes past the hour. And have a safe trip back to Tucson, Shelley. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay, thanks, Shelley.
Bye-bye.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA, SIPC. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LPL Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A setback for House Speaker Boehner's effort to round up votes for his deficit-cutting plan. Conservative Republicans in the House now say they can't support the measure. The White House says the president would veto it. California isn't taking any chances. The state plans to borrow about $5 billion from private investors as a hedge against a possible federal government default. The Postal Service is considering shutting down more than 1 in 10 of its retail outlets, post offices. The agency says it's going to study more than 3,600 local offices, branches, and stations for possible closure. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of trading today, the Dow is down about 61 points. The NASDAQ is 3 points higher. The S&P, 3 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. Put it all together, we have a very strong reach, the strongest news talk station in southern Arizona, covering at least 8 Arizona counties. Barring successful legal challenges, Arizona Senate President Russell Pierce is facing a special recall election on Tuesday, November the 8th. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Randy Peraz, the political activist and organizer who led the successful efforts to get Mr. Pierce recalled. And Mr. Peraz is a 2010 Democratic U.S. Senate candidate in Arizona. He's the co-founder of Citizens for a Better Arizona. Randy, good to talk with you again.
Ben, thank you. Great to be with you.
Thanks, Randy. Tell me about the latest on this recall effort as far as a candidate coming forth now to face Mr. Pierce.
Yes, what I'm hearing, there's a viable candidate will be coming forward tomorrow. His name is Jerry Lewis. But I get my news kind of secondhand like you on this one. We as a recall committee have not been involved in the vetting or the search of any particular candidate. Our goal when we set out was to recall Russell Pierce. We thought we'd create room for others to maneuver to really, see as an opportunity to set Arizona in a different direction. And thankfully, it appears that someone who we feel can actually win in that district in terms of the type of qualities they have is willing to step forward.
Jerry Lewis, an accountant and charter school executive, he is the person that is being talked about for running against Mr. Pierce. What kind of chance do you think, if Lewis does indeed go ahead and get on the ballot, what kind of chance do you think he would have against Russell Pierce, Randy?
I think he'd have a great chance for the following reasons. One, it's a Republican seat, the Republican district, so I think he is Republican. There's also a prominent Mormon presence there. He's also a Mormon. Not only is he Mormon, but he's a former stake president of the area. I think he's also a former stake president for Russell Pierce himself. He did that for 10 years. My understanding, this is someone who has deep roots in the community. He's been there for 30 years, so I think he's going to give people, Republicans, especially an opportunity to vote for someone different, because when we did the signature gathering part, over 1,500 Republicans who we didn't even target, we didn't knock on their doors, on their own volition, came to the library and signed the petition. So there's quite a few Republicans out there who really want to see someone different, who's not as extreme as Russell Pierce has been extreme in the last few months as president of the Senate.
Randy Peraz is with us on the Buckmaster Show. If you would like to ask him any questions or join in our discussion, the number is 790-2040, 790-2040. And some more news on this recall today. Anti-illegal immigration activist Tom Tancredo has signed up as the co-chair of the new political committee that will oppose the recall of State Senator Russell Pierce. What are some of your thoughts about that, Randy?
It's really surprising because all along, Senator Pierce and his supporters have been calling our chairman, Chad Snow, an outsider. Chad Snow works in Phoenix. He is a Republican. He practices law in Phoenix, and then he lives in Peoria. And they've been calling him an outsider. And so now he gets a chairman, not only for, someone who doesn't even live in the state, someone from, I think, a former congressman from Colorado, who's based now in Virginia, to hit up his opposition to the recall. I think it says a lot about Russell Pierce and his hypocrisy and his inability to really get some grassroots support here in his own district and people here in the state alone to really stand with him and to fight off our attempts to recall him.
Tom Tancredo is a former U.S. representative from, indeed, Colorado. He ran unsuccessfully for the Republican presidential nomination in 2008. He serves as a co-chair of something called Team America Political Action Committee, which is based in Virginia. So you're saying, in effect, why does he have to go out of state? Mr. Pierce's people criticizing what you're doing, and now they bring in somebody from out of state.
Absolutely. What does Tom Tancredo have anything to do with Arizona? What does he have to do with Mesa? I live in Scottsdale. I live and work in Arizona. I'm raising my children here. Russell Pierce's policies impact myself and my family and the rest of us in Arizona. That's why we initiated this grassroots effort. I didn't even sign the petition. So this is, again, Russell Pierce's reluctance to deal with the reality that over 10,000 valid registered voters in the district have signed a petition to recall him. Mind you, the first time ever in the history of Arizona and the history of the United States.
And this is getting national attention, this recall. Time magazine recently asking, is Arizona finally fed up with right-wing politics? Well, is it, Mr. Peraz?
I think so. I mean, there's basic differences between Republicans and Democrats. And this is, our effort was never a partisan effort. It's always been a nonpartisan effort from our volunteers and from our funding base as well. And I think, you know, people can deal with right-wing and left-wing politics, but when it gets to the far right, the extreme right, when you start to really marginalize people and attack people, when you just pursue a political ideology at the expense of what's best for Arizona, that's when we draw the line. And I think, you know, I don't believe Jerry Lewis is a moderate Republican. I think he's a conservative Republican. But Russell Pierce has not redefined what it means to be, you know, on the right, to the point where that's trying to move, you know, further and further to the right. So I think this is about the voters, you know, recalibrating and sending a different message and sending a different representative to kind of rein back, you know, Russell Pearson, where he's been taking the state in his district.
You know, is this energizing the Latino community in Mesa? After all, the majority of your volunteers have been white people over the age of 50, and it really isn't being fueled, is it, by angry Latino pro-immigration folks?
Yeah, not at all. I think that's what Russell Pierce is having a difficult time with. You know, he wants to call these folks names and call them, you know, open border activists and everything else, but that's not what fueled this thing. What fueled it for me personally and then what spilled over to folks is when, you know, no one was interested in recalling Russell Pierce until after the election in 2010, his Republican caucus made him president of the Senate. That was the catalyst. That was the thing that got myself moving and others saying, look, is this the type of person we want to be controlling our agenda? It's going to impact education, impact health care, impact all these different things. It's just the person we feel that can represent the interests of all Arizona. And as I started having more conversations with people who are close to me, there are more and more people willing to explore the idea and the possibility of recalling him.
Did you ever believe you'd get enough signatures to force the recall election?
I think for the most part I did. We had some difficult times going through this, but I felt, you know, when I looked at the numbers and the demographics of that district, and then Russell Pierce actually helped us along the way in terms of some of the legislation he was pushing. Of course, the BCS scandal, you know, he was a top, you know, gift receiver of all the politicians from the BCS and the lobbyists. And so I think as we went through it, you know, obviously I felt that we had a good chance, but it didn't really start to crystallize. We started getting into the month of March and April, and we started seeing people consistently coming out on weekends and walking and talking to people. And we started hitting our numbers, and we started raising more money. That's when it started to really hit that we're really going to do this.
Tell me about this organization, Citizens for a Better Arizona. Tell me about that.
Well, at this point, it's not really an organization. In order to be involved in a recall, you have to register and create a formal recall committee with the Secretary of State's office, and then that allows you to raise the money, open bank accounts, and actually run it and run this particular type of campaign. And so we're in the process now of thinking, do we want to continue as this, or do we want to form a 501c4 organization to continue the political education and the issue, moving different issues around Russell Pierce and why he's deaf Arizona as we move forward into the election in November. So now we're not a formal organization. We've just been a formal recall committee, and now we're either going to be an independent expenditure, a political action committee, or a 501c4.
What did you learn from your effort to become a U.S. senator when you ran last year?
I just learned that, you know, I got started too late, and two, there's just a tremendous amount of outreach you need to do to really lay the groundwork if you want to be successful in this type of effort. And the last thing I learned is that the importance, and I should have known it anyway, but the early vote pretty much knocked our campaign out, even though we were gaining momentum. Two-thirds of the voters in the primary voter early vote, and we didn't get momentum for almost 2 weeks out of the campaign. And most of those folks, I mean, had already voted. As a matter of fact, countless individuals come up and say, oh, I wish I knew about you before. I already voted. But you know, if you run again, I'll give you my vote. But that wasn't too helpful.
Randy Peraz has been with us. He's been leading the effort to recall Russell Pierce. What does your organization do now when this candidate emerges, apparently Jerry Lewis? Then what active role does your group play in that?
We're going to do a couple of things. One is that we're not going to play any active role in that. We're going to have our own separate little campaign going. We're not going to coordinate with the candidate. What we've been doing is been phone banking the people that we have signed up on the petition. Thanking them for signing, informing them that some folks don't even know there's an election in November yet because everyone doesn't watch the news. And then we're also going to be going door-to-door in August to sign up more people to sign a petition that's similar to the original one to have them support this recall effort.
Okay, Randy Peraz, thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you.
Randy Peraz with us, 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall is next. Stay with us.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Savino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. It's 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. On this Tuesday, I am Bill Buckmaster, and we are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network, with our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. We pretty much have Southern Arizona covered from one end to the other. 790-2040, you're always invited to join in our discussions. I do most of the interviewing, but it's always good to hear from you. If you would like to ask our guests any questions, please feel free to do so. And joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, on the Buckmaster Show live line, is Pima County Attorney Barbara Lawal. Barbara, how are you today?
Hi, good morning. Oh, I'm great.
It's good to hear from you again, and we really haven't talked with you much since the Pima County Victims Services Division actually announcing that grant to aid victims of the January 8th mass shooting. This was a lot of money. It was nearly $2 million, but that money will have long-term repercussions, won't it, Barbara?
It certainly will, and it will really assist us in helping all of these victims who need a great deal of financial assistance, plus the fact that then, you know, if this ends up being prosecuted in the state courts, we're going to need this money. We've expended a lot of money already in terms of dealing with victim compensation issues, so it's most welcome.
Barbara Lawal is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Barbara, we had Sheriff Dupnik on our Friday Focus a couple of Fridays ago, and we had the police chief, Chief Villasenor, with us last Friday, and we were talking about this reduction in crime. First of all, the sheriff is trying to figure out this mystery that he has on his hands. The jail population is near or at record lows. What's your take on what's going on?
Well, I don't think it's quite a mystery. I think I know what I would like to attribute it to. And if you look at the stats, so the jail population is down almost 15%, which is very significant. And if you look at a couple of things, one is that the number of cases that have been presented to us over the last 5 years, it's down almost 13%.
Really?
Yes. So there's been about 1,300 less cases, felony defendants presented for us to review for issuing than there were 5 years ago. That's a significant number. When you look also at the population of individuals that we have incarcerated, that number is up considerably. And I'm trying to find the exact number, but that number has been on the increase. And there are approximately 300 more individuals that we incarcerated last year than 5 years ago, despite the fact that the crime is down. So this is in Pima County, and what we've been doing is we've been very carefully trying to target the most habitual recidivist individuals and take them off the streets, those people who are responsible for committing crime over and over and over again, and putting them in prison. And when you do that, gosh, you prevent crime. You know, you take an average burglar or a career auto thief off the street, and according to the RAND Corporation, you can prevent from 180 to 300 crimes a year.
So there's a huge ripple effect, you're saying?
I think so.
And the sheriff, so we've solved that mystery. Now, with the police chief, he had an interesting theory, Barbara Lawal, about why crime is down not only here in Tucson but across the country. He thinks cell phones are playing a huge role in people, making those calls where before they didn't. What do you think about that?
That has not been presented to me.
It's an intriguing thought, isn't it?
Do you mean you think that prevents people from committing crime?
Well, what it is, he's saying, it basically gives you more eyes out there on the street. And
well, it does, but we're talking about reported crime,
right?
So reported crime is down.
Yeah, it is.
And that's the biggest indicator of what's going on in our communities, is what people are reporting to police. So, gosh.
What are some of your thoughts of why crime is down then?
Well,
just the opposite.
The fact that we have taken some, I think everybody across the country has been really focusing on dealing with the most dangerous, violent, recidivist offenders. And, it's interesting because there's been a lot of articles in the paper about the fact that state legislators are decrying the fact that our prisons are full and that they want to release folks. Well, if that happens, you're going to see a rise in crime. And so I think there's a concomitant effect. When you put those people who are committing the crimes away, you're going to see a drop in crime. So I think that our sentencing structure has helped enormously in doing that.
The governor was speaking to the Police Chiefs Association up in Flagstaff a week or so ago.
I was there.
Were you? So she was lecturing some of the chiefs for not taking a more active role against the marijuana, medical marijuana provision that was on the ballot last November. And as I recall, you spoke out. Of course, you're not a police chief, but you did speak out against that marijuana measure.
Well, I did, and very loudly and as frequently as I could. I think most of the county attorneys did. The interesting thing is that the police chiefs are not elected officials. The sheriff spoke out. The police chiefs have to report to their city councils and their mayors, and they cannot just take a position politically on something. So I think it was a bit unfair of her to chide them for doing that or for failing to be as vocal. I want you to know that, our police chiefs here actually did speak up on the marijuana issue. And actually, I couldn't speak out and tell people to vote against it either. I had to be very careful and judicious and just educate them on what the provisions were. And as soon as you did that, if you were out there just talking about what the law really contained, people became pretty horrified that it was on the ballot. So I know that the Tucson City Police Chief educated people, and he had folks at all of my public appearances and supporting me, and several of the other chiefs around here. So I think her comments were unfair.
Barbara Lawal is with us, Pima County Attorney. If you'd like to ask Barbara a question, 790-2040, 790-2040. Legalization of the medical marijuana, where does that stand right now? Is that going to be tied up in the courts for a while?
All I can say, Bill, is holy cow. I think we're all a little bit flummoxed about this law and what it's going to require. And, we're all waiting patiently to see what the lawsuit that Attorney General Horn, what the result is going to be, because he's asking the courts to make a determination as to whether or not the state employees who have to license the marijuana dispensaries, whether or not they're liable. And, nobody really knows exactly what the U.S. attorney is going to do. I think the people who have the marijuana dispensaries don't know. And we don't know whether, the feds can close down the marijuana dispensaries across this country. It's against the law federally. If they wanted to do it, they could do it. And, now that the U.S. attorney has written the letter saying that, nobody is safe from prosecution, what does that mean?
Barbara Wall is with us. Tom is a caller to the Buckmaster Show. Tom wants to talk about the downfall in crime. Go ahead, Tom. You're on with Barbara Wall.
Hello, Barbara. I was wanting to know, do you think that Senate Bill 1070 had very much to do with the drop in crime here in the last year or so?
Good question.
I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is that we have on several occasions done snapshots of, you know, who is committing the crime in Pima County, and it has not been those persons who are unlawfully in the country. It has been our homegrown gangbangers, auto thieves, you know, they're the ones committing the crime, the burglars. They're, we're not arresting, for the most part. They're about 3% of the arrests are from unlawful aliens, and the 97% of them are from people who are legally here or citizens of the United States.
Okay, Barbara Wall, thanks for being with us. I'm glad you're having that Identity Theft Assistance, Victim Assistance Summit tomorrow. That's important. It's a huge issue, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Barbara, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show, and I'd like to have you back in studio with me sometime in the very near future, and
okay,
we'll be talking again.
You bet, Bill.
Thanks
thank
a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Barbara Wall with us on the Buckmaster Show. At 12:59, the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Regern, Associate Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersreger.com. We thank them for their support. We thank all of the Buckmaster Show sponsors. Please support these businesses who support us to make this show, this interview-driven program, possible here in Tucson. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, wishing you a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR, Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, The Voice Radio Network.